Welcome to Podcasterino. I'm your host, Michael Ray Serber. God is Slovenian, and his name is Tadej Pogačar. After 12 stages on the Hotakam, Tadej was able to essentially lap the field on the first big mountain test. I mean, when you look at the time gaps, there are a couple of shockers. When you think back to the day on the road, there's a couple, you know, bigger shockers, statements, surprises. Number one, Tadej Pogačar took 2 minutes, 10 seconds on Jonas Vingegaard, who was in second place today. And Jonas was struggling. Like, Jonas tried to stick with Tadej initially. I know it's been a few days since we've done a stage recap. Ultimately, we saw some pretty ho-hum stuff yesterday. The breakaway got away, and Pogačar was able to get up from a nasty-looking crash. If you're wondering why everyone stopped riding and racing at that point, it's out of respect for who Pogačar is in the peloton. He's the favorite. You don't want to take time on some bullshit like that. So today, they probably wish they had some of that time, but they probably wouldn't have done it even if they'd known. I don't think Jonas Vingegaard thought he would lose 2 minutes, 10 seconds today. I think almost everyone else will have to be somewhat satisfied with where they are. Florian Lipowitz kept getting shouted out on the broadcast as like a big surprise as to how good he was. And I think it's a shame that he perhaps waited on Primoz Roglic as much as he did, because this is a guy that finished second at Paris-Nice this year, finished third at the Dauphiné. He's won the Tour of the Czech Republic. He's fourth at the Tour of the Basque Country. I think he's got a podium at the Tour de Romandie, top 10 at the Volta last year. He's a young German rider who hasn't been rushed into action here at the Tour, I don't think, anyways. So certainly someone to look for the future, and certainly someone to look for the GC and the podium in this race. He only lost 13 seconds to Jonas, and it did seem on the climb like he waited for Roglic quite a bit. So you wonder if he's able to just ride a steady pace of his own without slowing up from time to time to maybe give a wheel to his co-leader, I think, now no longer his co-leader. It would be nice to see what he's able to do with Roglic in support of him at this point. It's a tough task for Remco Evenepoel to finish on the podium once again. Although, if you watch the race, it really looked like Remco Evenepoel was about to lose everything. Like a big loss, a big, you know, half hour, 20 minute loss, potentially. If you'd seen what happened in the Vuelta a couple years ago. But he fought back admirably, got back with the group for the final climb after he was dropped on the climb before the final climb. Got back with the group, immediately got dropped when the pace got kicked up, but he rode within himself, finished seventh on the day, ultimately losing 3.5 minutes to Pogačar, but only a minute 23 to Jonas Vingegaard, who he sits behind in GC now in third position. But Florian Lipowitz, a guy that bested him at the Dauphiné just a month ago, appears to be in better form, better climbing form. Oscar Onley, who is kind of taking up the mantle of Romain Bardet at Team Picnic Postenel, really a strong ride today from the young English rider. I wonder where Oscar... I think Oscar Onley might be Scottish, actually. I shouldn't call him an English rider. I should double check that real quick, and I'm going to leave it in because everyone makes mistakes. And yeah, he is Scottish. It says he's born in London, but grew up in Kelso. So I assume his family's Scottish. But he races under the United Kingdom banner. Regardless, a really impressive stage from him, and the team will be heartened to know, you know, upon Bardet's retirement, that the guy that he was kind of like that Bardet was shepherding into the leadership role, or one of them anyway, is, you know, taking that up well. Tobias Johannesson also had a good day, finishing with Oscar Onley. Felix Gall struggled. Christian Rodriguez, I think, was maybe in the break early. He's one of these guys at 7 minutes down. Carlos Rodriguez, not anywhere to be seen. Primoz Roglic struggled quite a bit. Kevin Vauquelin, the young, you know, the French hope now, he sits in fifth place on overall. 6 seconds off Lipowitz, and a little under a minute off of Remco. I said at the beginning of this thing, no one's going to be within 10 minutes. We are now at a point where ninth, if you're 10th and back, you are more than 10 minutes behind. That should make the podium race even more interesting, because if I look just back real quick at the guys that are 13 and 12 minutes behind, Mateo Jorgensen, Ben Healy, Carlos Rodriguez is 17 minutes back. Some of these guys could potentially get, you know, a long leash on the tougher mountain stages to go here, especially now that Pogacar has the race in hand, and he's going to want to race and race for the win a lot. But there's going to be times when I think the break's going to go, whether it be because he knows that no one's got any firepower, and he's not interested in it, or because there's just another great break that goes up the road and UAE loses control of it. It's a long race to go, so if he loses any teammates, it would become tougher and tougher to control the group. But it's looking more and more like Pogi doesn't really need a team. That being said, Jonathan Nervaez emptied the tank for him today, and his lead out on the attack, he finished 18th on the stage, 10 and a half minutes down. Like, he lost a lot of time today, but he emptied himself at the really the bottom of that climb, because Pogi went the whole climb by himself, which was, I mean, we just haven't seen anyone do this. Not with these types of margins. We've seen people, yes, be a better than everyone else and ride away from them to the tune of 2 minutes and 10 seconds. No. And especially no one over the caliber of a rider like Jonas Vingegaard, who is one of the great Grand Tour riders of recent memory. This begs the question, you know, they're pretty defeated, I think, at this point, everyone else. Soudal doesn't have the team to support Remco's ambitions. Visma has the team to support Jonas, but Jonas is going to more than likely take second place on talent alone, unless Florian Lipowitz surprises everyone pulls off one of the biggest upsets of recent tours by superseding Vingegaard and taking second place. But it does really feel like it's going to be a tough nut to crack with Remco in that position. He's so good at measuring and gauging his effort, and he races with a lot of common sense, he's smart. I mean, he's been racing his bike for, 8 years only competitively, which, you know, he kind of got a late start because he started out with soccer and then moved to cycling, but he's pretty smart about the way he races on the bike. The legs might not have enough to keep him on the podium, but he's going to fight for the white jersey, which will be an interesting thing. He's going to fight to be on the podium in Paris. He's already won a stage. I don't think it's worth it for him to drop off and lose a ton of time and maybe target the King of the Mountains or anything like that. I just, I don't think he would hold off a charging Pogacar anyway in the break. So all of that is now kind of the drama. Can Vingegaard hold on to second? Probably so. Especially now if he is... can take the mindset of, I don't have to try and win this tour. I can try and finish second in this tour. If he does take on a different mindset of, I'm going to really go on a long range attack and try and win this thing in a crazy way with my team, who is arguably stronger than UAE and tactically maybe a little more sound than UAE is, we're going to have the race of our life for the final, 10 stages or 9 stages now. Your head would say, though, he's probably going to lose time tomorrow in the time trial. And they're calling it a time trial at Perigueux. I'm so bad at French pronunciation. But, like, It's just a, it's a climb straight uphill. Like, you would think Remco Evenepoel gains some time tomorrow because he's the time trial champion. That's not necessarily the case. Climbing legs are going to have much more to do with this. There's a little bit of flat and downhill to start out, and sure, he may pick up a little bit of time on everyone, maybe, you know, 10 seconds in that first kilometer, 5-10 seconds in that first kilometer, half, 2 kilometers. But by like the third kilometer, they're heading uphill, and he'll be towards the top, but I wouldn't expect him to have any say in the stage win tomorrow. I hope I'm wrong and he gives us a more nail biter conclusion than we're anticipating, but I think it's going to be between Pogi and Jonas, and Pogacar today showed that he is on a different level. So you would assume that Pogacar wins tomorrow as well, extends his lead. Vingegaard probably takes second. The question becomes, you know, against the clock, can a guy like Lipowitz, can a guy like Oscar Onley, Kevin Vokalan, can they best someone like Remco Evenepoel and close the gap to third place, or maybe even take third place from him tomorrow? Even on a mountain stage like this, though, Remco against a clock, pure power, going to be tough to top for, you know, the best of the rest category. So tomorrow's probably not going to be the day that we see the ultimate shakeup in the top three, as far as seeing if we're going to see a repeat of last year's podium. Because as it stands right now, 1-2-3 is as it was in Paris. Or not in Paris, actually. I believe they finished the tour in Nice last year on a time trial stage. The same as it was in Nice last year. So I'm pretty excited for the next few days, but on Monday we have the Ventoux, I believe, if I have my stages correct. Because Sunday we go into Carcassonne, and then there's a rest day on, and that'll be the final rest day before Tuesday, July 22nd. They ride up the Ventoux, a long flat stage leading up to one of the most iconic and intimidating climbs in the history of the Tour de France. So that'll be extremely exciting. I don't think we're going to see any heroics from Jonas at this point. Perhaps a stage win. I think the heroic thing for him from here on out is going to be hanging with Pogacar for a stage, potentially, and taking a stage win. He's yet to go around Tade. It's finished behind him in every situation. He's had to hang onto the wheel in every situation, save for a few moments when he's gone on the attack. And then Pogacar shut that shit down immediately. Psychologically, I mean, it's a huge blow. He's not playing any head games with Pogacar. He's still one of the greatest riders of our time. And there's a lot of mountains to go, a lot of descents to go. It ain't over by a long shot. So they will race all the way to Paris, but I think the true race is for third place now. And it's going to be good because there's no dominant force there. Remco is an excellent rider, but it's a bit of a misfire training for the Tour at this point. The big question now is, like, what does the Giro look like next year? Pogacar's already said he's going to the Vuelta. So he's going to try and win the Tour of Spain for the first time in his career. There might be some motivation for him to go to the Giro next year and win all three tours back-to-back, Tour de France, Vuelta, Giro, in the style that Chris Froome did. If he does, then we probably see Remco go for the Tour again next year, Jonas go for the Tour again next year, hoping that a depleted Pogacar is not able to accomplish what he did last year, which is a Giro Tour double. Pogacar might also say, no, I've won the Vuelta, I've won the Giro, I'm all in on the Tour and my monuments. In which case, if you're Jonas or Remco, or maybe even Florian Lipowitz, Oscar Onley, you say, you know, the Giro is a pretty appealing option now. Especially they each have another Grand Tour under their belt. Jonas, I don't know if the Vuelta is going to be something he goes for, another head-to-head with Pogacar this year, but like that's in his future again. He probably would have won the Vuelta had he not been put in the position of needing to support Sepp Kuss. Most of these guys can make the decision, I want to go win the Vuelta. Or at least the three that are in the top three right now. If the others aren't there, they can say, I'm going to go ahead and just go win that. If the Yates boys train for it all season, you know, who knows? Maybe Ayuso or Almeida, but those three guys can go win the other Grand Tours if they so choose, and then they're able to make it through. So I kind of, in my heart of hearts, I'm hoping, you know, Pogacar wins the Vuelta, says, all right, I've got all three Grand Tours. I'm going to focus on Tour and Monuments for the next couple of years, maybe World Championships and the next Olympics in 2028. That would be great. And then we see maybe Remco and Jonas go at it in the Giro next year. And Remco goes with Mikel Landa if he's still with Quickstep. And we see the return of Mikel Landa at the Giro after crashing out this year. There's storylines that I think would be fun to witness there. But for now, this tour's fucking over. It's so over. And Jonas is a great rider, but Pogacar is whatever he is cracked into in his winter training. The heat seems to not bother him, and he's from Slovenia, Southern Europe. It's to be understood why he would be maybe a little more accustomed to the heat than the Danish rider like Jonas Vingegaard, or Belgian rider like Remco Evenepoel. Florian Lipowitz, I believe, is from the southern part of Germany, so it will make sense why he kind of is thriving in the Dauphiné and the Tour de France in this hot weather. Pogacar just can't be. He can't be tamed at this point. So what else is new? The college football video game is out. Everyone is complaining about how hard it is. It's finally as hard as I've always wanted it to be. It's easy if you play with like a really good team. So, I mean, just, you know, don't be such a hardo on yourself and pick Ohio State or Clemson or Florida. I was going to say one of the Florida teams, but I don't know that they're one of the good ones. Alabama or whatever. If you want to win, just put up points. Otherwise, you're going to have to grind at it. Oh, no. And I get it. People don't want to grind on a video game. Well, maybe turn the difficulty down. Maybe you're not good enough to play on Heisman or All-American. Maybe you should be on the freshman or varsity level or whatever they are. I don't know. The game looks great. The atmosphere stuff's really cool. The hill fills in at Clemson now during the game, which is like nothing. That never happened on any of the video games. You'd always see the rug that said Clemson coming down from the rock while the game was happening. I'd always get pissed, but it doesn't look like that. They fill in the hill. So they finally did that. That's really cool. The dynamic lighting for me was something that had to happen because I'd get so pissed off having a bunch of games at sunset all the time in future Dynasty seasons. They fixed the scheduling bugs where you would have like a bunch of four out of your last five games would be road games all the time in Dynasty future seasons. Seems like they fixed that and made it a lot more realistic. I got to a third season where I was opening with a conference opponent in week one. That was awesome. So good work to them on that game. I went to the beach with my wife and my mother-in-law and father-in-law. Had a good time. We have my in-laws have a trailer like just off the beach. We're not on the island, but we're like on the other side, just off the island across the bridge. And we can, you know, it's a couple minutes drive over to the island. And they got a little Jeep Cherokee with like a sticker on it so we can park wherever we want to and take the public access onto the beach. So that was without paying any extra. So that was nice. The one thing they have there, an outdoor shower, which I feel like is a clutch play. And my wife really wants one. And I frankly want one too. I think that's like a huge upgrade to your entire situation. Just having an outdoor shower. It's a bit of a flex. Like, I got outdoor shower money. Beyond that, trying to train on the bike a little bit. Need to do more. Might be a good idea to just try and go all out with one of the riders tomorrow on the time trial stage. Just watch along and just put in the big chain ring and the highest gear, or the lowest gear, technically, I guess, right? No, whatever. Make it hurt on the trainer. And, yeah, because I've been trying to just be more motivated to accomplish goals from like physical fitness. It's so much easier when you're a kid and you're on teams and it just kind of happens because you go to practice. And you, as an adult, and you don't have the structure, it can be hard. So if you're dealing with that, I get it. My only advice, get off your ass. No, it's, man, I sit on my ass too much. It's okay, I guess, is my only advice. It's okay. Not sure when I'll have another episode coming out. My buddy Lee's birthday party's in Nashville this weekend, so I'm going to that. But as soon as the next, like, crazy thing, like, you know, Tadej Pogačar eliminates the entire field for a second time, we'll jump right back in with another stage. I've seen some people saying, like, hey, how much money could we pay to get every stage recapped throughout the tour? I don't have the time. I got to do Fullcast. I got to do Hand in the Dirt. I got to help out with Phantom Island. And then when, you know, school's back in, I got to teach the kids. Because I believe the children are our future. You teach them well and you let them lead the way. And give them all the wisdom you possess inside. So, I'm sorry, but I hope you enjoy these anyway. We do have an episode coming up soon. My wife and I are currently rewatching season one of Gilmore Girls. Is this our first rewatch? No. Is it our second? No. Third? No. You're going to have to go for a while, and I'm not going to waste the tape, because this is all being taped on real tape right now. It's not. We've watched it a lot, but we're watching it again because I'm going to have Chelsea on Podcast Arena soon to kind of talk about Gilmore Girls and talk about the first season. Maybe it'll be a series of episodes where we'll do each season. Maybe it'll just be season one. Maybe we'll stop after season three when Rory starts becoming completely reprehensible, but we'll see. Beyond that, there's only one other thing I really want to talk about, but I'm not ready because I want to rewatch Supersonic, I think, and I want to see some more stuff from it, but Oasis is back together, and I'd like to talk about that, and just as a fan of rock and roll, why I think that band is so cool. Until next time. Follow me on all my stuff. You can find me on Blue Sky at server.bluesky.social. Actually, I guess it's .bsky.social. Very cool. I'm also L_Cerberino on Instagram if you want to follow me there. I don't post there as much, but I do post in my stories. So if you're like a story scroller like me, enjoy that. Okay, bye.